Very cool. Jason, I'm Mark.
Hey, Mark. Nice to meet you.
How
Jason
are you?
Sus. Very well, good. Thanks.
James Pulley.
James, nice to meet you. Brian, of course. Yes. I know you very well.
For us as well as the viewers, tell us a little bit what you do at Dynatrace and your current position, and then we'll get into this idea of this thing you do.
Sure. So I'm a solution sales director for the DC Rum product line. So that's our wire data-based monitoring tool for usage, performance, and availability that's passive, looks at packets on the network,
right,
and then is able to tell you all about users and performance and applications and the type of data you'd expect.
Okay.
So as far as DC Rum goes for North America, I'm kind of involved in really anything that helps that product with sales, with enablement for the technical people. I do a lot of customer meetings. I do a lot of presentations, other wacky activities.
And basically keep people humming and, just buzzing
just
about the
make
product.
Make sure people know what it does, what's new, what's exciting, how it's used, you know, where it fits, that type of thing. Sure.
Now, Brian told me about this interesting
connection. You all like your scotch.
We're sort of single malt scotch buffs.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
And every Friday, I know I'm going to have one email from Jason, which is always very fun and entertaining to read, called DC Rum Punch, where he combines some information about some rum drinks and all with the actual DC Rum product and sales. And it's very, very
which
creative.
Is brilliant.
Yes.
So I figured, you know, I got put in this position where I'm responsible for DC Rum. I'm kind of a cocktail guy. I have a little bit of a spirits collector.
What, mixologist?
Mixologist is the, I would say, of all the names, it is the more pretentious that we can refer to ourselves as.
That's I refer to myself as a performacologist.
Yes.
So, I mean, really nothing pretentious there.
Yeah. Bartender.
Yeah, and you've got that license plate that says Bitman, but
so I don't know what that is. It's crazy.
So,
go ahead.
So I'm a bit of just kind of an enthusiast when it comes to cocktails and spirits. And, you know, if you call yourself an enthusiast, it doesn't necessarily mean you have a problem like some people might think.
Yeah. Right.
But
although you're amongst friends.
If you need
support, just let us know.
You know, we're probably wondering why we brought you here today, Jason.
Yeah.
Yes. Just how your actions have impacted all of us one by one. No. So I have a Friday column or email that I write, and I just kind of take something ideally fun and interesting and unique about rum,
right?
Rum, the spirit,
the spirit
that you would drink, how it's made, where it's made, interesting things about cocktails or specific cocktails.
Right.
And then I talk a little bit about that so people will be interested, and then I just kind of gently weave it into something that's relevant to DC Rum, our software product.
So cool.
For example, around Halloween, I decided to talk about the zombie cocktail, right? It's a classic rum cocktail. It's got like three different kinds of rum and fruit juice and this and that. And a zombie, right, as you know, is kind of the walking dead, right?
Yes.
It's something that's dead and gone.
Dead process.
Yeah. But somehow still limping along, much like outdated versions of software. So it was just kind of a way to recommend that, you know,
like
our customer.
Like Lode Runner 8.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if you're on version 12.1 or something of ours, like that zombie software, right? That's been dead for 2 years. It's time to get people on, you know, 12.4.12 or 12.4.10. So just kind of the fun concept there of like, as long as we're talking about zombies, let's try to get your customers off zombie software that, you know, that's dead and limping along, and let's get them on the stuff to bring them back to life. So that was one.
Where pieces are falling off.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
It'll bite
they can't get support.
You'll be
right. The one I loved was the idea that there's the drink mix in a bag. What was that all called? So have you heard of it?
So this is a phenomenon in the San Francisco area, primarily like the Tenderloin District, that sometimes thought of as a little seedy, but there's some great cocktail bars there. Well, the little, and I can't remember the name of what they are, but kind of like the bodegas in New York. It's the little corner stores, right? They sell booze. Well, some entrepreneurial enterprising corner store owner decided that, hey, I should start bundling, right? So there's this thing called a Cuddy Bang, and it is a Ziploc baggie where the guy at the store will know that if, you know, he grabs a can of Sprite off the shelf and he grabs a bottle of Bacardi Limon, right? We're going to stick with rum here.
Yeah.
And then a little thing of the little can of the Dole pineapple juice, and he throws it in a bag, you know, he can sell it for $7 instead of, you know, $2 each. And then he gives it a funny name, right? You know, so
you're paying for the experience of what this guy's doing.
It's a bundle, right? Or maybe he sells it.
Grab and go. Like,
Sells it for $5.50, right? But he's getting $5.50 instead of the $2 for the one bottle. He's bundling it together.
Exactly.
In some kind of package deal. That probably makes more sense to make an incentive.
Or if it becomes sort of this sensational buzz, there's all kinds of new traffic coming. Oh, you got to go find it.
Right.
Okay. But what is this again?
It's called a Cuddy Bang. Cuttybang. Like bang, boom. And the other part about it is it's the names. So they give them in the article. Some are less than appropriate, but it tends to
not
be,
safe for work.
Well, yeah, you know, like, it is the Tenderloin District, after all.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. So, you know, how can we can we talk about what those names would be? Or
No.
Okay, so
you can,
we maybe not.
Well, we'll be offline. Well, we could bleep them.
You know, think about names of things that are associated with alcohol or partying or yes. sometimes the activities that follow those types of things. They'll reference that type of scenario and they'll give it funny, crazy names about what happens.
Instant hangover.
Yeah, exactly.
That's such a nice
or something more lewd. One. I had to think about something innocent.
Yeah, up all night and it's Red Bull and
You could reference pop songs.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, hit me maybe one more time. I'm sure something. Just seeing all the Britney posters outside here in Vegas.
Or just F you.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Fun University. I don't know if you know. Furman University?
Furman University.
That's where he went to
school. Hey, we have that chant.
We do.
FU one time. FU two times. FU three times. FU all the time.
Yes.
It sounds exhausting.
What's Furman University?
Makes sense.
Yeah. All right, cool.
So Rum and Rum, it's been fun. The reps have been reading it. That's good.
Yeah, and what's coming up with, you know, we're seeing a lot about Dynatrace, SAS Manage here. Mm-hmm. I got to be part of the, you know, I went to the Atmon pipeline. The roadmap. What do we got going on in DC Rum that's fun and exciting?
Yeah, so if we talk about roadmap and specifically what's going on with SAS Managed and Smartscape, so Smartscape, you know, is kind of our new centralized reporting interface that's taking data from, you know, one or more of our products and adding that artificial intelligence to it and being able to correlate, you know, from different products together.
Yep.
So DC Rum historically has been really promoted as fault domain isolation. So you think about of all the different places where you could potentially have a problem with an application with multiple tiers and network and servers and client locations.
Right.
Where's the issue, right? Just knowing where that issue is it takes you from, you know, the town to the farm to the barn to the haystack,
right?
And once you get to that haystack, you're gonna have a better chance of finding the needle than if you're just scouring the whole farm,
looking in the couch.
Exactly.
Then you get the giant electromagnet out, and you just pull it right out of the haystack.
And so your specific tool for finding a needle, as opposed to, you know, whatever.
Yes.
So what we're doing now is that DC Rum data is going to feed into Smartscape, and it's going to be able to utilize that AI, artificial intelligence, to correlate that DC Rum domain with that underlying root cause issue. So we're going to be able to take host agent data to see, like, what process is spiked or, you know, where CPU is spiked up or there's memory issues.
Right.
And it's going to be able to correlate that to what typically was just fault domain and now tie that together and be able to get you to root cause as opposed to just the haystack. To get you to that needle.
By so it really is a giant electromagnet.
It is an electromagnet.
Yeah. Okay.
Magnet.
Awesome. From Acme Electronics, Wile E. Coyote, and the giant magnet.
So the fun story about that from last week was we were talking about artificial intelligence. Uh-huh. And if you're familiar with IBM and their Watson supercomputer.
Yeah, Rick's here actually, right?
IBM has their Watson. And recently they used Watson to analyze, like, 15 million tweets about people on vacation and understanding what words go with vacation. And then they used Watson to analyze all of the reviews for different rums. And it correlated the words that were used for vacation, like exciting and relaxing. And it correlated those with reviews of rum, like exciting.
Different
and paired that together with different flavors, like exciting was with cinnamon and relaxing was with vanilla. And so Watson was able to create the best flavor profile for a rum, which was then made by a distillery, and it's for sale in a couple places in the UK. So
that's
we
awesome.
Have artificial intelligence making rum, and now we have, at Dynatrace, rum that's making artificial intelligence. So it's just kind of a fun twist on how those
that's
play together.
That's cool.
They're very, very clever.
Not only technically cool, but
cool.
Now
right?
I want to go try some.
Try
I'm going to be
rum,
in
yeah.
the UK next month.
So look for it. If you Google Watson rum, you'll see it's like
where
holiday spirits or vacation or something rum.
Okay.
And they sell it. It's like $70 a bottle, and you can get it at the duty-free at the Gatwick Airport or a couple other stores around London.
I'm going.
I think you should.
I'm bringing some home. Every time I go there, I bring something home. World of Whiskies is always there, and you can hit a couple of local
PX
stores.
Is available in the
really?
London duty free shop.
The PX?
So if you're
I
a, we can talk Scotch. I know I'm a
Talisker,
rum guy.
Dark Storm.
Yeah. So if you like those, those Islay and Jura scotches that are really kind of briny and peaty and
I
silky.
I like the Islays. Yeah.
So Laphroaig is one of the classic, like super peaty. Ardbeg, Lagavulin, Laphroaig.
I bring back the Laphroaig QA cask, the quinoa.
Yep.
Not because it's actually like a white oak, because it's QA.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So I go to a testing conference where we're going to be tasting scotch. Here's the tester scotch.
Here's a little QA.
Yeah. You need some QA.
So at the London airport, they typically have the Lafroy PX, which is a Pedro Ximénez sherry cask finished Lafroy.
Ooh, cool.
So it just kind of rounds it out and softens a little bit because Lafroy can be a little abrasive.
Still it's really, aged so 10, 12, something?
Standard 10-year Lafroy, and then they'll just finish it for a few months in a Pedro Ximénez sherry cask. And that just just a little roundness.
Makes me think of the Brulati Octomore I had. Mm-hmm. They also do a 5-year, but it's in a sherry cask.
Yep.
Some of them, not. I don't think all of them.
And there's triple cask where they'll go sherry, and then they'll go port, and then they'll go. I just got a whiskey my wife brought back from Vienna that's finished in Sauternes barrels, which is the really, really sweet white dessert wine from the Sauternes region of France.
Yeah.
So it was a single malt whiskey.
That's nice.
Can't say scotch. It's got to be made in Scotland to call it scotch.
That's right.
It's a single malt whiskey made in Vienna that's finished in Sauternes bottles.
Yes.
That was pretty tasty.
Interesting.
It is very interesting. Very good. So when you come, have you been to perform multiple times?
This is my first perform.
Really?
Yeah. We were just talking with Mike Taylor. It's his first perform as well.
There you go. The one thing I have to say, in 2015, we had the evening reception. It was like last night's party and everything, right? But we were having scotch tasting at the podcast booth. We didn't do that here in during the sessions because you don't want people to get totally bombed while they're in sessions and that. But maybe we should bring some cocktail mixology to the next perform.
We should do that. Yeah, I think we've done some, we call them rum and rum events around the country. So I'll find a really cool bar that has a great rum selection. In Seattle, there's a place called Rumba that's killer. 450 different kinds of rum. Smuggler's Cove in San Francisco. We did Planter's House in St. Louis. I live in Minneapolis, and there's a distillery that just opened that's making rum.
Here in Las Vegas, there's the Whiskey Attic.
Yes, Whiskey Attic.
It has 5,000 different whiskeys. And if you've not done a tasting there...
I haven't yet. It's in my list. There's two bars here. One's Herbs and Rye, and the other is Whiskey Attic that are both supposed to be phenomenal.
Upstairs from the Dancing Frog, I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, you have the correlation just from rum to rum, and I'm just trying to think what other products we would correlate to a whiskey.
Yeah, so with whiskey...
I mean, that's hard. It's
tougher. I got fortunate that it's real user monitoring and it's rum.
But it is an acronym where the other is... not an acronym. So maybe we have whiskey, scotch. So
White Lightning.
Something like that. I told
Moon's Farm. Moonshine.
I was joking with Steve Pace, our VP of Worldwide Sales, and I was like, if you guys are going to do any acquisitions of products, can it be like a global information network? That like some tool like that, so at least I can start doing gin or
I have to sit there thinking,
something.
Because
gin, I can talk about gin, I can talk about whiskey, I can talk about rum, but, whiskey, to tie it to what we do, I don't know. It's, I mean, what makes whiskey is the barrel, right? I mean, and the aging.
Web health information system knowledge.
Yada, yada.
Yeah, that's it. Whiskey.
Yeah. And you don't even need the E. Not necessarily E.
Just leave it off.
Because you know the naming, right? If it's a country that has an E in the name, typically there's an E. If it doesn't, Scotch, there's no E.
Right.
Bourbon there is, because United States has an E, Scotland does not. So
just be whisk.
With the exception, however, of Maker's Mark. Maker's Mark on the bottle is spelled whiskey with an E because it's an homage that Maker's Mark has done to the original, which was the Scotch.
That's right.
It was the first, or Irish whiskey was really first, so they spelled it that way. Otherwise, all the other whiskeys in the U.S. you'll see probably spelled without the E.
All right. So that's what
my stuff just comes without a label in a mason jar.
It's
so,
just,
I live in North Carolina.
Moonshine.
That's just how it is.
Yeah. Running.
So North Carolina, if you are a Scotch drinker, I would recommend you try Defiant.
Okay.
It is a single malt whiskey that is made in North Carolina, and it's pretty tasty.
Cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. The American single malts are starting to come up and be a little more popular. There's one out of Waco, Texas called Balcones that's won a number of awards against single malt Scotch. Balcones,
There's one out of Greenville, South Carolina that they water age it. So they put it in barrels in the Charleston Harbor and the Jocelyn supposedly gives it a greater age than its physical aging.
That's
Jefferson's
wild.
Ocean was a variety of Jefferson's rye whiskey or bourbon that they put on a ship and they let it sail around for a while, and just the movement of the ship is supposed to help age and kind of make it.
And, of course, Ardbeg did the Galileo, I think it was. Is it Galileo, the one where they put...
And there's Rogue Dead Guy Whiskey that does that as well.
Yeah.
But
the Ardbeg one, they actually put vials of it and then sent it to the International Space Station.
Oh, wow.
So they have aging at NASA. I think it's in Alabama, Birmingham. No, what's the other?
Huntsville.
So in Huntsville, they have a whole bunch of the barrels that are aging there, and then the same whiskey is being aged in outer space to see if we can
whiskey,
age.
That's
but the that's test will be because if we have to leave the planet in some sort of anti, you know, no gravity kind of vessel,
can we still make
whiskey in outer space?
It's true because the whole idea of whiskey is you want
no one can hear you puke
earthy. The liquid to go in and out of the pores of the wood. That's right. Where it absorbs the flavors and all that and the color.
Yeah,
and so if there isn't like a pressure difference, I don't know if you get that same aging.
Yeah. So that
vacuum.
Yeah, you'd have to, if you vacuum it or pressurize it.
What about freeze-dried whiskey, like the ice cream? I'm sure that would be delicious.
Yeah, there wouldn't be much to it if you dry the whiskey.
Yeah, because there's a lot of moisture in there. But you could, since you'd also have to have some sort of, you know, exercise, the kinesthetic parts in outer space. Mm-hmm. You just correlate the motion of that human kinesthetic thing. You have to pump the whiskey.
Jostle a barrel or
right,
shake
so
it around.
Your job is
If you were to take a barrel and just kind of flip it around so it's just doing end over end, the problem is the whiskey only on the edges, which is going to be jostled. In the middle, it's just going to be just sitting there.
Yeah.
But we could design something different than a barrel in order to get that to work.
We're going to have to look into how to age whiskey in outer
space.
It's going to be critical. Elon Musk. He's going to go to Mars.
And given the themes of the selfie booth.
It's probably going to be a slow centrifuge that represents gravity.
Yeah. That would be one way.
Awesome. So that's really, really cool.
So it's fun. Yes. You know, it's just a fun way to take software and technology and correlate it to something that kind of everybody can associate with. And
now, do you include actual recipes, cocktail recipes?
Yeah, so I put a recipe in for one time was for the zombie, another one for Mai Tai, another one for, there's this great rum that just came out by Plantation. I'm typically not a big fan of flavored spirits. If it needs a flavor, I like to flavor it myself.
Right.
But Plantation makes this pineapple rum where they take the rum and they steep pineapple bark in it. And it just gives it this really nice, like, rich, pineapple-y, more of a subtle flavor. And it's not like that fake, syrupy, sugary, like, artificial flavor of pineapple.
Yeah.
And so that one, I put up a recipe.
So it's not like buying a traditional coconut rum where all you just taste is coconut.
Yeah. No, this is like, it's just a subtle infusion of that aroma of pineapple and pineapple bark. And it just makes it really nice. Great for a daiquiri.
Yeah. These things come out typically on a Friday.
Every Friday, I have one.
You're going
to
happy hour. You know what to order. So it's just in time for happy hour.
I can't tell you how many people have bumped into me here and be like, oh, man, I just tried that rum you told me about.
That was awesome.
I had this great Mai Tai recipe my wife loves, and I've been making those for her. And it's like, good. All right. Can you sell some software, too? That'd be great.
Yeah. Do a little of that. take one of your customers with you the next time you make these things.
Yeah, not forget there's two parts to this email, right?
I think people usually stop reading right at that halfway
one
point.
One part
which
rum
brings
and
us
one
to
part
DC
rum.
Right, next.
The other half of the recipe can be found at the bottom of this email.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes.
Or it should be like every third letter of every word is the rum recipe in your...
Oh, like a secret decoder ring.
Yeah, they have to read what you're writing about to find all the right letters so they can put together the recipe.
That could be good.
Cipher. Right. It's like National Treasure, Nicolas Cage.
The
Franklin
talk about
letters.
Our new capabilities around SSL and the time it takes for the handshakes and the different ciphers that are being used, I could create a cipher that allows them to extract
a rum
the
drink recipe.
I might use that.
Oh,
that's awesome.
It's known as foreshadowing, folks.
Yeah. Now, we are going to be sending this out to people who have no access to this information. Is there any way that this could come out?
Does it sneak out of the organization?
With any purchase of DC Rum, we'll be happy to send you all the emails that I've written about that.
You might have to clean a few up, you know.
And how about a little drink book for all your recipes?
It comes
with the
a little ebook or a pamphlet about like application performance monitoring and in the cocktail world or cocktails as
drinking your way to better apps.
Yeah,
there you go.
I'm not sure that works so well in the performance testing universe right now.
No, mostly you just got a lot of drunk load.
Well,
testers.
No, as long as you have the AI in the background,
right.
You can that'll empower people to drink more. Then
I mean, let's be honest. If they bring Dynatrace in, these guys that are trying to solve problems are going to have a lot more free time on their hands because they're not going to be dealing with all the troubleshooting. They can kick back and have a cocktail and leave on time on Friday for once.
The self healing of Davis, they can be like, whatever. Just push it to production. Yeah. Davis will fix it.
Davis, make me a drink.
Exactly. We should do Davis drink recipes.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Awesome.
Combine
Jason,
it with
thanks
the,
very much for joining us.
Thanks so much, guys.
And good luck
Mark,
with everything.
James.
No, I now
Brian,
always
got
a pleasure.
Got to
go find some things. Drink.
Yes. Eric Grabner.
Hey, hello, how are you? I heard you were talking about interesting performance topics, pineapples, rum, yes. What was that?
Yeah. Yes.
Is that a, did I miss something? Are we, is the conference over? Is,
do you
is
know his,
DC rum.
Rum.
Rum. Rum.
Oh, I
the
get
DC the, rum.
I'm so stupid.
He has these emails every Friday. Have you seen these?
Yeah. I don't think so. No, I'm not on the list.
Not on the list. Okay, yeah. So he takes rum stories and rum drinks and ties that into DC rum.
Well, I actually saw some. Now as you say it. All right. Sorry, I'm a little brain fried.
That's okay. We all are.
Yeah, this is an offline episode, so you can just say anything stupid right now.
Like the same thing that I said this morning.
What did you do?
I said, you didn't see my keynote, right? I made some references.
I was busy working.
I made some political references.
Oh, no.
Yeah, of course.
Like what?
So, you know the UFO that I was running around with?
Yes.
One option is to make like a red light going left and right and left and right. What does this remind you of?
A Cylon.
Cylon.
Well, for me, it was Knight Rider, right?
Yeah.
A red light. Knight Rider kit. Remember that? The show? David Hasselhoff?
Yeah.
Left and right.
Battlestar Galactica was before Knight Rider.
It was.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
but either way.
But look, we're just a little bit older.
Exactly.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. So basically,
And the Hoff in Germany.
Exactly.
That's true.
That's why. Yes. That's why.
He's way more popular.
That's why. You know, then I brought the reference of, you know, David Hasselhoff in his good times when he also thought he brought down the Berlin Wall when he was singing over there.
He did.
Yeah.
He brought it down.
Of course, that's what he believes.
Yes.
And yeah.
We talked to Finn about that too. And
yeah.
Of course. And then basically I made a little reference that maybe soon he can recover his skills in that respect and bring down other walls that might be built soon. That was my political reference.
Did anyone laugh?
Yeah, actually they did.
Okay. Then that all that matters.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even if it wasn't the joke you wanted to tell,
no, it was the
take
joke.
The laugh.
No,
so you did it. You got it.
Yeah. You got a bunch of people laughing at you. Exactly. I mean, at your joke.
Yeah, see?
Anyway,
how did it go this day, today? Because I wasn't here at all.
You missed out completely.
I know.
It's been amazing.
Yeah.
Actually, we have some editing to do before we kind of depart our ways. But yeah, so we're doing an offline right now, and we've recorded the thing with Jason. We got a bunch of testimonials.
Cool.
So if you haven't checked your peer
and,
DT.
And your colleague on the Davis side came over.
We, cool. We, yeah, yeah.
We had
perfect.
A discussion.
Awesome.
On,
is there any
Davis
any
architecture?
Yeah.
Helped to highlight exactly the layers that Davis is operating at and not operating at.
And cool. Where other AI,
like the real
concepts.
AI we talk about is more
built,
about
built
the data
other
analysis, not the Davis layer.
Exactly. The Davis layer is basically just an interface to the API, right?
Yeah.
So that, but then what was the other thing Jason was talking about, that rum?
DC
is now,
rum. So DC
but it's
rum.
It's feeding into.
It's going to be feeding. Well, it's going to be. Oh, what's the Smartscape?
Yeah.
So, Smartscape
it's really,
also has some rules engine in it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Smartscape is really kind of building from the whole AI stuff. Hello, Mr. Hawthorne.
Yeah.
Want to come step up to the mic?
Yeah, of course. Here we go. Who are you?
I'm Daniel Hawthorne with the Missouri Valley team from Dynatrace.
Oh, my God. So serious.
Hey. I'm in front of you, and you got the hat off. So it's time to get serious.
Yeah. So I've been working with Daniel on and off on a couple of accounts recently, helping out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. How have you been enjoying Perform so far?
Oh, so this is my first Perform. I've actually been with Dynatrace for, let's see, 6 months now.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been awesome to connect with, you know, my customers, connect my customers with other customers, and connecting with customers just from across the globe. Getting great feedback so far. And I've sent some people over here. I don't know if they came, but
oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
No one said, oh
no one told us that you.
They
want
to give you the credit.
Okay. I'll work on that. I'll make sure the next time they say that.
Oh, not a problem.
So he didn't put the tag on them, so we cannot trace it back. That's a big problem. So these are all customers now.
No header tag.
No header tag, so that means we cannot reimburse you later on. Oh, my God. This would be something, right?
The hat that Andy had on earlier.
Yes.
You know, it had that nice spot in the hat band where you could tuck something in.
Yeah.
Make sure they're wearing a hat. Just tuck a little tag right in.
From Daniel.
Yeah, they got it. I'll just take a picture and post it on the activity feed and say,
hey, I set them over.
So you've been liking the interaction and all this kind of components. As far as any of the sessions you've been going to or the speeches, has there been anything revealed in there that's really really struck you, left an impression on you?
Let's see. So I've taken the parts that have really, resonated with me, I've taken pictures of, and what I'm working on is basically providing like recaps to all of my customers that were able to make it, as well as the ones that weren't able to. So that's actually what I'm about to work on now for today. But basically, some of the best practices around onboarding. Raymond James did a great job yesterday. They had some of the challenges that they had faced and how they kind of overcame those, and that's certainly a component of it as well.
Excellent.
So, I think you were in a session today with Sentry and Principal too. Were you sitting in that one as well?
Yes. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was also interesting. It was two companies that actually were on a different track. One company, one year in. Another company already 6 years in, and then basically seeing how they got from zero to what they did in the first couple of months, the challenges that they had, but both companies now running more than 1,000 agents, right, in their systems, and yeah, some really cool stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So
excellent. Well, I hope you enjoy the rest of your time here today. Are you here till tomorrow? Or?
Yes. All so right. I fly out tomorrow back to St. Louis 6:30.
In the morning?
PM.
Okay.
Yeah. Not in the morning.
All right. Well, I hope you have a great time. Thanks for stopping by and talking.
Thank you. Sure, and we'll Brian and Andy, thanks so much for doing this and all the support you guys have gave me out in the field. So really appreciate it.
It's our job. We're happy to do it. Thank you.
All right, well, come. I don't work for Dynatrace, you know this.
Oh,
so, but, and know. Let's come over here.
Hey, what's up? Oh, live podcasting.
Survive the puzzle. Yeah, we're recording.
Okay.
Yes, come on. She has a question for you about somebody from Dynatrace. This is Andy. Do you know Andy?
Oh my God, Andy.
Andreas Green. This is Fran.
Big fan.
Yes.
Big
fan. First time caller.
First time caller.
All right, so your question was you want to meet
Rick Bentley.
Do
you know him?
I know him.
Is he here?
I assume he's here, but where? That's hard. I can
Did you send him an MS?
No response.
No response.
Oh.
He's so busy.
He's gone dark.
And you know I'm the big quitter.
No, there are priorities in life.
They helped through
to the end.
Great crap on I should say crap.
You guys did great. Don't you worry. But I've never met Rick, so I don't know. No, I know.
Oh, he's a marketing director, I think, from Dynatrace.
Yeah.
Did
you tweet him?
Yeah, I did.
Like, actually, you need to tweet? Well, you never know. Somebody could be tweeting. You know, it might be good to tweet. We could find out what his Twitter is. You know? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did I see you there you go. Today?
Huh?
Did I see you at one of the sessions today?
All right, so you go messaging, right?
I work for Verizon, and I support FCA, Fiat Chrysler.
Rick, R-I-C-K?
Hey, man.
Oh, he's not in here.
Which part of Verizon? I'm Verizon Business.
How do you spell his last
name? CenturyLink was kicking our ass earlier, and I'm like,
there you go, Rich Bentley.
We're doing a session tomorrow.
Oh, send a message.
Okay. I did.
I'll do another one.
Neil.
Hi, Fran. Yes, I'm a dinosaur. I'm one of the last people.
There's one more thing on the comment.
You're going to send a message?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I'll try for 2 days.
Right.
And I'm going back on Thursday.
And I'm sorry, your first name again.
Margaret,
right? Oh, yes, sorry. B-H-A-R-B-G-A-V-I.
No,
there we go.
It would have been fun to talk to him.
What? Of course, he may not know me, but he's getting messages now.
Yeah. Okay.
Like nasty messages. All right, I'm going to get some wine. What are you having?
I'm Coke.
Just what? Just Coca-Cola? I'm here with Vikram. No last names. Vikram, how are you? You were a survivor of the Puzzler session, weren't you?
It was awesome puzzle session I've ever been into. And it was really challenging puzzle.
It was?
It was.
But you survived like four hours of puzzling.
Exactly. And I was able to solve only one out of three. I was not able to solve that also completely. I was pretty close to that, and I almost really solved it. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, spellbounding. Yes.
Awesome. Yes. So let me ask you generally, have you been to perform before?
This is my first time.
First time performing. Yes. How long have you been using Dynatrace?
Well, I'm pretty new user to the Dynatrace.
Yeah.
We recently started using like a year ago, and we did not fully explore it. We just, you know, hook up all our big giant JVMs to the Dynatrace.
Yeah.
And most of our time, we are spending lots of time. I'm ashamed to say that we are spending lots of time in our firefighting because instead of engineering, we are putting more efforts into operations.
Right.
So, you know, our Dynatrace, I'm sure, definitely will help us reduce our operational work going forward. And we spend most of our time in engineering rather than firefighting.
Right, right. So what did you think of sort of the Davis intelligence and remediation? Is that, I mean, that would be a good fit for where you guys are going.
Definitely, it's a very good fit. I hope Davis also has some APIs which we can integrate with our, instead of Dynatrace, which we can integrate with our internal monitoring tool.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that. If APIs are there, I'm up for it to use that. Yes.
Yeah. Very, very cool.
Yes.
All right. What about other sessions that you went to?
Well, I've been into the Java boosting of Java performance, mm-hmm. which was really helpful.
Yeah.
And again, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. I learned a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, is that a hot day, the morning session?
Yes, hot day morning session.
Cool. All right. What about other track sessions? Any breakouts you've been to see?
I didn't get chance really because I had a production issue yesterday. I had work in the afternoon.
Yeah. Awesome. But today you're just coming out of the keynote this morning or the
yes.
How was that?
It was awesome, especially about DevOps to the NoOps.
Yeah.
I really like that idea.
Yeah.
At least very soon, as I tweeted in the as I posted in the app Performance 2017 app.
Yeah.
I wish to see the minimal operations rather than NoOps very soon. NoOps, I think we'll take some time to get there, but that sounds really awesome.
Minimal ops.
Minimal ops.
It'd be like a stopgap.
Yes, exactly.
Like anything you're addicted to, you don't want to go cold turkey. You know the phrase? Like, you don't want to go to zero. You'll go into withdrawal. Where's my ops guy? I need hardware.
Yes, I wish to go to zero operations because we are all engineers. We should spend our time on engineering rather than operations. Operations basically adds boredom to your job.
Yeah.
And, you know, your career will come to the stagnation and might grind to the halt at some time.
Yeah. That's cool. Awesome. Do you want to, just if you can, in abstract, describe the production issue yesterday? Like, what did you get called into?
Well, our applications got slower. Pages are responding slowly. I cannot say which website is it.
No, it's fine. But, you know, just the Puzzler. Like, what is... it's a JVM issue and...
It was a JVM issue again.
Yeah.
Yes. And we had to solve it.
Kind of thing?
Yes. We had to go from CMS to G1JC.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Because for a long time, a tremendous amount of tuning you can do with CMS.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And G1, it sort of... It has a little intelligence built
exactly.
in to make it easier. And
yes.
It did benefit.
Yes.
Is the workload, just generically, the workload, was it larger objects, larger heaps? Because G1, a lot of the people I see say G1 works really well for larger object sizes, larger heaps.
Exactly. Size. Our objects are pretty large.
Okay.
And our JVM is as big as 100 gigs.
Oh, really?
Yes. And we don't want all that fancy settings that comes with a CMS.
Yeah.
And we are done with that. We are tired with that.
Yeah.
You know, tuning here and there, it's like a niche. We are not that experts at the performance.
Right.
So we thought of going to the G1GC. That paid us really well.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting pattern you describe as well, especially when I hear customers running very large heaps.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you have a lot of heterogeneous traffic patterns
Yes.
From in the same JVM space.
Yes.
And that, like CMS having very specific guide configuration for how it's going to do mark and sweep and all that, benefits, like you tune to the most common traffic pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But like if you have a diversity of traffic, some of the traffic is going to screw things up. So if you, that's like a microservices strategy.
Yes.
Are you guys kind of leaning towards that, which will make G1 would still benefit that?
Exactly. So right now we are half and half. Half is monolith, half is microservices. We are still in the phase of migrating to the microservices.
Right.
So I think going forward, you know, given the experience of my experience with JVMs,
yeah.
G1 GC is going to be the best thing.
Especially in the the diverse or heterogeneous traffic patterns without
exactly. Yes, our traffic patterns changes a lot based on, you know, when China wakes up, we get lots of traffic.
Right.
In the, you know, when again, you know, Western time of America, again we get lots of traffic, and
right.
you know, our traffic shifts back and forth.
Yes.
So.
Cool.
Yes.
So, and just to be totally clear, we don't know what company you work for, so all of this is.
Oh, sure. Yes. Yeah. Yes. You don't know.
Generic problems.
Yes.
Awesome. So, do you think you'll come back to perform 2018?
I will.
Yeah.
Yes, I will.
Awesome.
I'm sure I will have more experience with Dynatrace by then.
Yes.
I will explore more.
And we'll have another puzzler.
Yes.
Workshop. Right, you're game for that?
Yes.
Cool.
I'm for it.
Victor.
Thanks, too. Nice meeting you, Mark.
Yeah, thank you.
You're
man.
Awesome. You're pretty good at puzzling.
Pretty good at puzzling. I'm a good puzzler. Yeah, thanks for joining.
It's cool.
Yes.
It's great. Yeah, I'm a podcaster myself.
Oh, good for you. What's your podcast?
Working Draft. Web technologies and web design trends. But it's a German language podcast, so you might not have heard it.
Ist kann ein bisschen Deutsch.
Ah, all right.
You are ein bisschen
okay,
Deutsch.
Okay, then don't listen to this podcast because I'm talking in the weirdest dialect imaginable.
Like, it's not like Hamburg. It's Bavarian.
Yeah. Austrian. German.
That's good. I'm good friends with Andy Grabner.
Yeah, all right.
So I get the same sort of Austrian.
Okay.
He's changing as well. He moves to Boston and he picks up all these other. It's like a Boston Austrian accent.
Bostrian.
Bostrian. We just invented that. Awesome. So, Stefan?
Yeah.
Stefan, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. You are?
Mark.
Mark. Hi, Mark.
Mark from Perfpipes. That's Brian.
Hi, Brian.
The Dynatrace podcast as well.
Oh, all right.
Pure Performance.
Yeah. Podcast with the Bostrian accent.
The Bostrian.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Now, you're a Dynatrace employee?
Yes.
Okay, so you can share that. But
so.
Tell us a little bit, is this your first time being at Perform? How long have you been working?
Yeah, it's my first time being at Perform. I worked for Dynatrace for about 2 years now, and Klaus Enzenhofer asked me to do a few sessions here, so that's why I joined. And I had a hot day on Monday, I have a workshop tomorrow, and in the meantime, I enjoy and record everything that I can spot for the UX team back home.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what are the things impressing you in the event, like messages, things that even surprised you? As an employee.
Yeah, the funny thing is, you know, you aren't that surprised if you have lots of insights from back home. What surprised me was today's morning session on the main stage, because Andy Band and Anita just hit every pun imaginable. They did a great show, but delivered the message with it as well. So the whole cultural change that happened with us in the company, in terms of role play, that was really something that got me off my socks and that caught me off guard, but I laughed, I had fun, and I got what they were telling me, so this was really, really great. And it's so great to see Andy live on stage.
Yeah,
he's
just,
we call it in German, he's a Rampensau. I don't know, he's the pick on the stage. I don't know. It's hard to translate, but you know what I get. He's just, he has so much energy and is has so much confidence on stage.
In it's not 100% positive, but in English you would say someone is a ham.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if they get into cracking jokes and
which he I guess he draws a lot of power from the audience and brings it back in his show. So it's so great to see him live.
So
and
that
I really
was
enjoyed
really cool.
it. But, so that was my favorite part so far. I watched it and it was really, really good.
Yeah.
What I also love is you know, it's for me, I'm in the UX team with Dynatrace, and for me it's the first time that I actually have actual contact with customers and clients, and to see their stories and what they are struggling with, and to have chats about that and try to improve some situations they have. That's that's a new perspective for me, and I guess it's one that I for myself really needed to get the full picture, to get the whole picture, and to see what's
are there any
going on
any
there.
Specific things that you've heard, especially as a UX designer, that from a customer is like, hey, I like this, I don't like that kind of thing. Anything stick out for you?
Ooh, that's really hard. It's also hard to because I don't know what I can tell and what I can't.
No,
you know what I mean?
But yeah, from especially with customers that have been working with Dynatrace, I'm one that's been 4 or 5 years now at working with it. And of course, I have my pet peeves, certain things about...
Yeah,
like,
this one thing that sticks out particularly to me, and I guess it's one thing where we with Dynatrace can help a lot. If you have, developers, especially web developers, are used to look at waterfall charts in the browser to try to understand how the whole application behaves on a request level or on a client-server communication level. And now with the Dynatrace platform, we have this one lovely view that I love so much, which is an aggregated waterfall over all user actions that you have. And if you spend enough time with that view, you can get insights and learnings out of not one user, but of all users, and how the application behaves for all users with all the different configurations out there.
Right.
And there was a customer after my hotdesk session coming to me, showing me a Chrome DevTools waterfall chart.
Yep, yep.
And we tried to set it up afterwards for the combined aggregated waterfall to see if we can get more insights. Because, the typical problem, it works on my machine, yeah.
Yes. And then the tester comes...
Dothraki don't have a word for works on my machine.
Yes. And then a customer says, it doesn't work on my machine.
Exactly. That's the thing. So this one particular thing stuck out to me. And I guess there's also something that really can help not only the operations part, but also developers. So I think devs will take a lot more looks into our tools in the future.
Yeah. Andy and I were talking about kind of the film strip display as well.
Yes.
So you could see the evolution of rendering.
As well as
there was some other new measurement he talked about.
Yeah,
as
Visually
well.
Complete. You hit the right guy. I was talking about Visually Complete for the last 2 years with guys inside the company and outside the company. And I'm so excited about this metric because that also comes from a little pain point of myself. I'm a web developer.
Right.
And we published this new website.
Right.
And suddenly our response times got up about 2 or 3 seconds on average because we had a video embedded there. And this video was draining load time because, if you just load the first few seconds of a video for high-risk video, that's a lot of megabyte.
Yep.
And that, of course, rises the response time of your website.
And even an unrelated from the loading, you've got the local library fire up, background process, you've got a flash player. All that has to happen if it's not already running. Yeah.
The funny thing is, response time said we were slower by 3 seconds on average, while in reality the whole website was there in about 500 milliseconds,
and you could visually
you could read and interact with the website in 500 milliseconds.
Right.
So it was the fastest website that we made.
Yeah.
But Metric said it is the slowest website that we made, and that's why I'm so excited about Visually Complete, and I'm talking a lot more about Visually Complete tomorrow.
Right.
Because with Visually Complete, you finally have a number that represents how the user actually experiences the website for you, and that's so powerful, especially with the implementation, the guys in Linzmid. I'm so amazed on which brain power they put into this metric, because I have to mention Markus. Markus is the one who implemented the algorithm for Visually Complete. Okay. And
it's like navigation timings, or
it's a bit of a both. It listens on navigation timings, on W3C navigation timings.
Right.
That's one part, but that's just browser events. That's just things that happen in the browser that don't necessarily have to relate to how you structured and build up your application, because especially with single page applications or with websites, everything's totally different now.
Responsive design in a one page site, things like that.
Exactly. So W3C timings just tell you what the browser did at that time. It doesn't tell you what your application did at the time. The thing Markus did is he was listening to things going on inside the document, like recording everything that happens in the document, seeing how elements changed in size, an image is loaded, so suddenly the image makes the whole container bigger, and suddenly the size is bigger, and recorded all of that, brought everything together, and found a great way, an innovative way, of correlating W3C navigation timings and resource timings, along with the thing he recorded.
Sort of the other events that are happening within, say, a CSS render or CSS change.
Exactly.
And then you would look at, say, changes per second, and the minute it drops off,
Exactly. Yeah. So we are talking about recording everything that happens in the browser, and not only what the browser provides us to begin with, but also what we can find out if we listen to other events and other metrics, but interpret them in a new and innovative way.
Yeah.
And that's what Marcus did, and Marcus showed us the whole thing about 4 or 5 months ago, and we were all silent in the room because we knew, all right, this is really something. This is new, this is fresh, this is something that's going to change how we monitor real user behavior, and that's why I'm so excited about the whole
thing.
There
you are. You're jumping up and down almost.
the cool thing is, you know, when it came to Dynatrace about 2 years ago, I kind of had an attitude. I said, you know, I can't use a product because of this particular story that I was telling you. Like everybody tells me our website is whereas if you go to the website, it feels really, really good.
Yeah.
So I need to have a good metric that represents the way that I work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was picking the right people, like nagging a little bit and teasing a little
bit. You infected them. Yeah. Good for you.
And that's the wonderful thing about the lab in Linz. They really love a challenge. And Alex Sommer, especially, the PM for Real User Monitoring, and Bernie Lackner, Clemens from the team, they really brought all the brain power together, and together with Marcus, it's amazing what they created. So, I'm really proud of them. They really accomplished something there. And I guess we talk a little bit more about Vision Complete in the other sessions, but
tomorrow you're teaching a workshop.
I'm teaching a workshop about that, on how to interpret different waterfalls on that. But really look out for anything we publish on that, because that's really something. That's really
that is cool. How about because all of the metrics that are measured, and then adding Visually Complete, goes into Davis. So Davis will now start learning about Visually Complete. What do you think? That's going to go somewhere. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, if Davis is going to tell you that your big above the fold header image is going to take way too long to load, and I want to read the content first, can you please make it smaller? Can you please reduce its size in some way?
Yeah,
that's kind of creepy, but also amazing.
Here's a remediation would be, we're going to give you a framework or a temporary render, and then asynchronously go to the full resolution like you would in other Google search, image search, and stuff like that. So that's a way. And then load the ordering in the page. Like, when are you going to load that? It is in the header, but I don't need the full resolution until in an anime. Yeah, so that...
I'll give some development advice. Like, okay, have you heard of the thing called responsive images?
Right.
You can define different sources for different screen resolutions.
Form factors.
Super helpful for anything you do out there. So, yeah, that's going to be exciting, actually. I'm really looking forward to what's happening there.
As soon as Davis starts suggesting things based on Visually Complete, I'll just...
Yeah.
So, Stefan, thanks for joining me again.
It's really nice talking to you.
Yeah, give a shout-out again, the name of your podcast.
My podcast is Working Draft.
Workingdraft.de.
It's a German podcast, and we talk all things web standards, web technologies.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and we have lots of English-speaking guests there, so every once in a while there's a special episode where we try to talk English to people from the scene. We had Paul Irish there, for instance, from Google, and... lots of others. Jeremy Keefe from Clear Left of Brighton. So lots of great guests, and we talk every week. So lots of information there.
Oh, that'll be very, very cool. Thanks for sharing the info.
All right.
This is James Pulley with Perf Bytes. I'm standing here with Rick Boyd of IBM Watson Health. And I'm going to put you on the spot. Dynatrace Perform 2017. Give me your top two impressions. And just like, oh, wow, this is what I'm going to be talking about. Go.
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest complicated scenarios that we have in performance engineering is this advent of Internet of Things. And so the announcement of the Open Agent, the ability to send performance information from anything that you can control, essentially code within, up to a platform like Dynatrace is fascinating. So that's number one. And I would say number two is Davis. I was originally privy to it back when I used to work at Dynatrace, but it has come a long way and is a very impressive intelligence platform for people to be able to use to understand their performance without necessarily having to be the expert.
So when Davis starts creating robots that are slightly humanoid in appearance and rather tall and menacing, what will be your response?
I for one, welcome our new robot overlords.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, fair enough.
You're not worried about Skynet?
No, I mean, especially if they're going to help me out with performance puzzlers.
Yeah, but not defend the country you live in.
No, if it's Davis, there may be some of that, but at least there will be some performance engineering aspect to it.
It's Skynet. It could be Skynet.
But fair enough.
You know, if we take humans out of the loop, all the computers will work just fine.
That's a possibility. I think we were just talking about that. Like, there's an aspect of that, right? And I'm trying to automate everything so my stupid mistakes don't start at 7:59 before I've had my 8 o'clock coffee. You know, so that.
I understand that completely.
So have I fully justified my welcoming of our new yes. robot
overlords? Robot overlords? Yes, I believe you have. Yeah. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I just, if people are just listening to Perf Bytes because you're at the Dynatrace Perform Conference, I have to recommend your entire back catalog. So,
any particular show?
Well, I did just listen to the Auld Lang Syne yesterday.
Yeah.
But specifically, probably your most recent philosophical ones about performance testing. So I liked the you can't have load runner in a nuclear facility.
Yes.
Because it's essentially true. Loaded up with virtual bullets. You know, yeah. or again, I did end up quoting you in my breakout
That's
yesterday.
Awesome.
There was the. You know, every load test is a scientific experiment. I don't think people control their variables enough. So
I would agree with that.
All of this stuff I learned from you guys, I would say.
I'm glad we're helpful.
Yeah.
Awesome. We're usually, you know, strange attractors and confusing to people. But, you know, we do at least try to be helpful.
Yeah, I definitely, Howard's not here, but the three of you make an entertaining and informational product that I enjoy a lot.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
That's Rick Boyd, IBM Watson Health.